longer when you could get away without all the parallel. I'm sorry, duplicate.
Back to the Thomas Bus, as the place for Moed. Was it Moed? That's done? Good Moed. Just to review the last Mishnah that we are still, in fact, dealing with. Take a look at 1981. Just I wrote this for again, leaving your mind what the subject is that the Gemara is more or less referring to. Hakoveret meitoh shlosha yamim kodem larega. He who buries his dead 3 days before the festival, but la imenu gzerat shiva. Shiva is cancer. Okay, remember that? It had to be 3 days. You had to have 3 days of Shiva according to the Mishnah, and then Shiva was canceled. Shmona, if the burial was 8 days before the festival, but lue menu gzerat shloshim, then the laws of shloshim are canceled. To go on, Yizmesha Amru. But the sages said, Shabbat Olah Ve'enam of Seket, a Shabbat is counted and doesn't stop to count. Regalim Mafsikim Ve'enam Olim. But the regal cuts off, Ve'enam Olim, and are not included in them, whatever that means, a little hard to understand. That's just the background. Okay, let's now go up to 19b3. Which is where we are. We are not at the first paragraph, but in effect the second paragraph on 19b4. In the English it begins, as we have seen, if someone buried his relative on the festival itself, Shiva is not observed until after the festival. Okay? Now that was implied in what we have just read in the Mishnah, that if there is a death on the festival, okay, and there is burial on the festival, then there is no Shiva, does not begin until after the festival. Okay, you can't begin Shiva on the festival itself. Festival includes Holomoid. We almost had this in our Zarua last week. We came very close. We had a death on Holomoid. And there was a possibility we were going to have a burial on Chol Hamoed, in which case this would have happened. As it turned out, the burial, in fact, was after the Yom Tov, after the 2 days of Yom Tov. That's how it worked out. So from a legal perspective, at that point, it was simple. We knew what to do. But had it been before, you would have been thrown into exactly this situation. Had it been on the Moed, it would have been that Shiva would not have begun till afterwards. Okay, so that's a basic that we understand. That's been the implication for the Mishnah. But now comes an interesting question. Ba mine Abaya me Rabba. Abaya asks Rabba. Regel ole lo leminyan shloshim. O ein regel ole lo leminyan shloshim. Now here, understand what the question is. Question is. The language is kivaro beregel. If you bury somebody on the regel, this means cholamoid, in all likelihood. Okay, you bury somebody on cholamoid. You can't have shiva till after cholamoid. But the question is, when do you start counting shloshim? Do you start counting shloshim from the first day of Shiva? Or is it at all possible that you might start Shloshim from the time of the burial?
But they said it not to lean. That means that they don't count.
Not to what?
The regals, the day of Chol Hamoed, are not olin. That means they are not counting. That means only after it you start the Shloshim.
And not counting for what?
You said before that not counted in the count
of
of the Shloshim.
Why Shloshim?
Because that was, the, you said, in 1981.
1981, let's look it back and see what it says. Okay. 1981. Okay, then we'll see A2, the next page here. Cover me, tell Shoshim. But lie, men of wait a second. It says, Mipnesha Amru Shabbat Ola Ve'ena Mafseket. Regalim mafsikin ve'enan olin. But what does that apply to?
For everything, every item that you need to count.
How do you know that?
That's for the count, what we count, all 7, all 30.
Maybe you're right, and maybe you're not right. Maybe it refers to everything, and maybe it doesn't refer to everything. That's exactly the problem of the Gemara. Okay. All right. That's why Abaya had to ask Rabba, is this referred to everything, or does it not refer to everything? Okay. Now, Kivaro Beregel, all right, we bury him on the Kolomoid. Regalo Lelo Leminyan Shloshim, Oin Regalo Lelo Leminyan Shloshim. Now, Abaya elaborates here. Leminyan Shiva Lokim Abaya. As far as Shiva goes, it's not really a question. When, this is not really something that we wonder about. Why? Delo nahaga mitzvat shiva beregel. Because we know that you're not supposed to do the things that a mourner does. You can't do them on the regel. We know that. Right? What does a mourner do? A mourner is prohibited, well, to begin with the things that mourner has to do. He has to turn over the bed. Remember that? Okay. The mourner doesn't have sexual relations.
No entertainment.
That didn't say so far.
Baby.
Didn't say. What?
Baby.
Well, bathing is a little bit more, yes, you're right, the mourner doesn't bathe. But I'll tell you why it's a problem. Because on the regal, you also don't bathe. Okay, and also the bathing issue on the regal, or at least a possible bathing issue on the regal. So it's not so simple. And that's the same thing as far as haircuts go. Right? Because remember, we made the law, so there's a little bit of a blurring there. Right, exactly. It's a little bit of a blurring. But there are certain other things, the ones that I mentioned first, which clearly are different. They're clearly different. So, that's not hard. Delo nahaga mitzvah shiva beregel. The mitzvah, the particular practices of shiva, do not pertain to the regel. You can't do them on the regel. But, ki kami bayale leminyan shloshim. But I am wondering about the counting of shloshim. Dekal nahaga mitzvah shloshim beregel. Because in fact, the things that we do for Shloshim also apply in the regal. What we were just saying. The laundering, the hair cutting, all those things are things of Shloshim. They're Shloshim. And they are also the practices of the regal. So because in fact there is a difference between Shiva, some of the practices of Shiva you can't do on the regal. All right, so that's simple. Now I know. If you can't do them on the regal, so it's easy. You have to push it off till after the regal. But Shloshim, it's not true. All the things of Shloshim, in fact, are the same things that you do on the regal. You remember that's how we derived these things. That was one of the sources that we used in the Bible. So that's a good question. It's a good question.
No, it makes sense that you'd want to have as many days of Shloshim done as quickly as possible, because they already said earlier that they're trying to make it as easy as possible on the mourner, and so
it's
you don't
also
want to prolong
true.
It. Yeah.
It's also true. So that's yet another reason. Yeah. Yet another reason. So we couldn't do that as far as the Shiva goes, because there was a conflict between some of the practices. There's no conflict in terms of the Shloshim, so maybe we should count it. Okay. Amarle, Rabba says to Abaya, Rabba, remember, was Abaya's father, or he was his adoptive father. Amar le'eno ole. He says to him, it is not included. That is to say, you have to start counting shloshim after the festival is over, which is what you had said. Okay, eteve. Now the Gemara brings an objection to what Rabbah has just said. Hakoveret meto shnei yamim kodem haregel. A person who buries his dead 2 days before the regel. Moneh chamisha yamim achar haregel. He counts 5 days after the regel. Remember, we read it in the Mishnah that if you observe 3 days of Shiva before the regel, then it cuts it off. If you only observe 2 days of Shiva before the regel, then you have 5 days left over. You'd have to observe those 5 days after the regel is over. So that's what it's saying here. Hakoveret meto shnei yamim kodem haregel, moneh chamisha yamim achar haregel. If you do 2 before, you have to do 5 after. Umlachto naaseit al yadei acherim, and during those 5 days afterwards, his labor may be done by others for him, because it's assumed now that if you push it off, again, we're worried about making his life too difficult. We're making a person's life difficult here. We're pushing it off. He's had so many days, he had to be out for the regal, and now we're pushing it off again. Okay? So he's saying your work can be done by other people on your behalf. And his servants can also do his work for him at home, which normally wouldn't be the case. The Ein Rabin Mitaskin Imo. Interestingly enough here, other people don't have to concern themselves with him. Namely, they don't have to visit him during those 5 days. They don't have to pay a shiva call. All right? The assumption being that, in fact, shekvar nitasku b'regel. They have already visited with him during the regel. Fascinating. During that period of time, during the period of the Baraitis, during the time of the Mishnah, this apparently was what people did. People would actually pay shiva calls during the regel. Even though it wasn't Shiva. And therefore, they're freed from doing it. They don't have to do it after the regal is over. Now, before you have to worry about this, none of this is the law. None of this is what we do. But this was, in fact, a practice during those times.
But they said, v'samachta b'chagecha. So how come, I'm talking about that period, how come the people who agreed, v'samachta b'chagecha, wouldn't pay the shiva call?
That's interesting. We'll get to that in a little bit, because I'll say a word about that even afterwards. Okay?
The fact that everybody, whether they're mourners or not, have to limit their ability to cut their hair and some of these stuff. I think it was to ensure the fact that they do it all before the regal begins and not postpone doing it. So, well, actually, so would the Ovel, since he only buried somebody during the regel. So he would have gotten his hair cut and laundered his clothing and pressed everything anyway. So whatever he's doing during the regel is not for reasons of...
You're correct. It's for different reasons. Definitely for different reasons. But it's the same practice. So that's enough. It's not necessarily determinative, but it might be said to be enough. Okay? Even if it's not for the same purpose.
How does it say that you can bury someone during the festival?
Well, the assumption is that you can. In fact, that is the law, that you can bury it during the festival, during Chol HaMoed.
Chol HaMoed, not on Shabbat.
You can't best buried on the festival day. Okay, on Yom Tov you can't, but you can on Chol HaMoed. Okay? Klalo shel davar. General principle is kol shehu mishum avel regel mafsiko. Whatever is pertains to the mourner himself stops with the regel. The kol shehu mishum iske rabim ein regel mafsiko. Interesting principle here, that whatever pertains to the public, the regel would not cut off. Now, we would not follow this practice. we would think of it differently. We would say, as we've said several times, that the public has an obligation to be joyful, and therefore we don't compromise the public's obligation to be joyful by bringing them into the situation of sadness. But this is different. This is clearly different. Okay? Now the Braita goes on. That was the first part of the Braita. This is the second part. Kivaro shlosha yamim b'sof haregel. If you bury somebody within 3 days of the end of the regel, so it's during Chol HaMoed, toward the end of the regel, mone shiv'a achara regel. You count shiva after the regel. Arba'a yamim arishonim rabim mitaskim bo. For the first 4 days, the public occupy themselves with him. That is to say, they pay shiva calls. Why only 4 days instead of 7 days? Because the burial was in 3 days in the regel. So the assumption is that people are going to visit with the mourner during those 3 days, and therefore afterwards, even though the mourner himself doesn't begin sitting shiva, as it were, in terms of the laws of shiva, still other people will visit him. So his 7 days begin after the regel. All the other people's obligation to visit him has already begun after the burial, so they only have 4 days left of that after the regel.
Okay. So does it mean he has to stay home even though he's not sitting
here? Yeah. Well, what does it mean to sit shiva? He has to do it. So it's interesting that there's a separation here between the notion of shiva and the notion of shiva is at a time when people visit you. These are actually two separate things. They're two separate things.
Can they continue to visit?
It says for another 4 days.
Oh.
I mean, you can visit anybody anytime.
I mean,
but we're saying whether there's an obligation.
Can you make a shiva call?
No. A shiva call? There, in fact, there are 4 days when it's possible to make a shiva call after the regal is over, according to this, according to the Berind. Arba yamim arishonim rabim mitaskim bo, shlosha yamim achronim en rabim mitaskim bo. But the last 3 days of shiva, people will no longer visit him, right? Because those 3 days were already the 3 days of the regel. Shekvar nitasku beregel, because they already did that during the time of the regel. Okay, so this is the Beraita. It's the general principles discussed by the Beraita. Okay. Now, the Braita concludes, V'regel olelo. V'regel olelo. And the festival, olelo, counts for him. Okay? That's the end of the Braita. Okay. Now the Gemara comes on and says, my lava sefer. If we're talking about the regel counts for him, all right, why, we should probably assume that this is referring to the shloshim, that the regel counts, that it's probably referring to the shloshim, okay? This is a case, therefore, where burial took place on the festival itself, and therefore, we assume that the last thing that's mentioned here probably is referring to shloshim. It can't be referring to shiva. The assumption is it wouldn't be referring to shiva. But it would be referring to shloshim. Then the Gemara says, no, lo, areisha. This last statement, v'regel olelo, refers to the beginning of the Beraita. The beginning of the Beraita, remember, was a case where there were 2 days of mourning before. There were 2 days of mourning before and 5 days after. Well, in that case, all right, in that case, since shiva began before the festival, then we allow the festival to count for the shloshim. All right? That's the case where the regel olelo, where the regel counts. There were two possibilities here. One was that, the other one, remember, was the last 3 days.
Right.
Last 3 days. And then you don't start the shiva until after the festival begins.
All right?
So regel olelo Do those 3 days count for Shloshim? The answer is no. Yes, there's one situation which was described in the Brayta where it does count, where the regal does count. That's where you had 2 days of Shiva before the regal. Because, yes, where you start Shiva, as long as you've started Shiva, you count Shloshim. But what Rabbah is assuming is that if you haven't started Shiva, you can't possibly start Shloshim. Okay? That's Rabbah's basic assumption. That to trigger Shloshim, there's one way to trigger it. And that is not burial.
It will trigger the Shiva.
No, trigger burial doesn't trigger Shiva either, necessarily.
What triggers Shiva triggers Shloshim.
Exactly. You have to wait till you have Shiva, and then you can have Shloshim. If you had a little bit of Shiva before the regal, okay, triggers the Shloshim. You can start counting the Shloshim. If you don't have any Shiva till after the Shloshim, then that's when you start the Shloshim. I'm sorry, if you don't have any Shiva till after the regal, then that's when you start the Shloshim. Okay, so we're back to where we started. Okay, now we come again to challenge the opinion of Rabbah. Iteve. Another brayta is brought. Regel olelo leminyan shloshim. The regel counts in the count of shloshim. Ketzad. What do we mean? What's the specifics here? If there was a burial at the beginning of the regel, you start counting Shiva after the regel. That's true. Let's say first day of Chol HaMoed, you have a burial. Okay? First day of Chol HaMoed, you have a burial. So that's Kvaro b'tchilat regel. You bury somebody at the beginning of the regal. Mone Shiva achar regal. Shiva doesn't start till after the regal. Right? So you're not sure? That doesn't sound right? That's good. All right? If you buried somebody the first day of Chol HaMoed, when's Shiva going to begin?
After
the whole regal is over. Okay? That's easy. Mone Shiva achar regal. Umalachto naaseit al yedei acherim. Right? During this time, his work may be done by others. V'avadav v'shifchotav osim b'tzina b'toch beito, and his slaves and maidservants do his work discreetly at home. V'ein rabin mitaskim bo shekvar mitasku bo b'regel. Now, this is talking about after the regal. He's going to observe the 7 days after the regal. Okay. And we see that other people, in fact, are going to be visiting him during the regal. The whole regal, it appears that they're going to be visiting
him. It's not counted as Shiva.
Okay. The regal olelo. And the regal counts. Now, it can't be counting for Shiva. Can't be counting for Shiva.
So that's for the Shloshim.
Aha! This baraita seems to be saying very specifically that the regal counts for the shloshim. How do you like that?
It warrants an exclamation point.
To which the Gemara answers to Yufta, that is a clear refutation of Rabbah's point of view. Now, at the Yufta here, remember that the nature of the argument is such that if you bring a baraita, Rabbah is an Amora. Right? He's an Amora of about the third generation. So if you could find the Baraita that very clearly cannot be refuted, then you've got a very good argument against Rabbah. Because the only way he can argue back is not by logic, but by a better Baraita. Or that there were two points of view in the Baraita, maybe there was another Baraita that had a different point of view. You might have that kind of an argument. But the Gemara brings no such argument. As a result of this second Baraita now, this Baraita is decisive, and therefore it is greeted with the Tiyufta, you got him. You got him.
How is it different from the previous Brahma that he, except that in one case he, the burial took place on the sofa regal and the other one at the beginning of the regal?
Because the regal olelo, exactly, because the phrase a regal olelo, we didn't know which situation it was referring to. Whether it was referring to the case of 2 days before or 3 days at the end. We didn't know which piece of the Baraita this was referring to, and therefore it could be refuted. You see? You don't agree? There are two cases. The Baraita starts out, remember, the Baraita is not what comes just before it.
Because in the first Baraita, well, in the one immediately before it, he says that... where is it?
Right.
So he has to count 7 days anyway, but the public only has to visit him
during the last three days. But that's the key issue is going to be the next phrase. The final phrase of the Braita is regalo lelo.
Yeah.
Okay? Question is, is that referring to what just came before? Or is it referring to what came at the top of the page? The regalo lelo. Right? Which situation? The situation we read just immediately before, which is that you start counting Shiva afterwards. Okay? You start counting Shiva, if I'm right, let's say Arba Yamim Arishonim. Right, you start counting Shiva after the regal is over.
So if it says regal Lelo, can't be the Shiva because they've said
right. But you're assuming that regal Lelo means they start counting the Shloshim in this situation, right? Where there was a burial 3 days before the end of it. I'm telling you, no. You're assuming that this is referring to the words that just came before. It's referring, look at the top of the page, it was a different scenario. That was 2 days of Shiva before. 2 days of Shiva before the regal. The regal then continues. And then this comment, viregalo lelo, at the end is referring to that. You see? Mm-hmm. Question is, what does this one thing, viregalo lelo, refer to? Now you might say, look, stylistically, it probably refers to what came right before.
I'm going by the English translation.
Oh, don't go by the English translation. I'm allowed to go by the English translation. Okay?
All right.
So we don't know in theory.
So the argument here is contrary to the English translation, which makes it seem as if it's obvious they're referring to Shloshim.
Correct.
Gemara is arguing we don't know what it's referring to.
Exactly. We don't know. Where it says regalo lelo, we don't know if it's referring to that situation immediately before. Or the situation that was described before that, which is you have 2 days of Shiva, then you have the regal, then you have 5 days of Shiva. Maybe it's referring to that.
Yeah.
Because there's room to doubt, it can't be decisive.
I see.
Because it could go, one argument could go one way, one argument could go the other way, we can't have a tiyufta. In the second case, we only have one fact pattern here. We don't have two fact patterns. We have one fact pattern. The one fact pattern is regalo lelo leminyan shloshim. The regal will count for the shloshim. In what way? What are you talking about? Kvaro bitchilat regal. You bury somebody before the regal, and we're going to learn that you don't start counting Shiva till after the regal. The regalo lelo, and the regal counts for shloshim. Oh, that says it clearly.
It's clear.
That says it clearly. Okay, tiyufta.
So did the Rabban not know that last Baraita?
I guess. He didn't know the Baraita. Correct. He didn't know the Baraita. Okay? Now, as a result, look what the Gemara now will tell us. Ki at Ravina Marabi Yochanan. When Ravin came to Babylonia, he brought the tradition of Rabbi Yochanan from Eretz Yisrael, which was, afilu kfaro beregel, even if the burial takes place on the regil, you count. You start counting the shloshim. You start counting the shloshim. So apparently the problem was that the Babylonian rabbis didn't have a clear tradition, which was in fact a tradition that was alive and well in the land of Israel. And that's why Rabba wasn't sure in the first place. And in fact, the final, you have Baraitas, which always come from the land of Israel. They finally are brought. And then you have a tradition of Ravin, who was one of these Nechute, they call him. He would travel from the land of Israel to Babylonia and bring traditions from Israel to Babylonia, often clarifying things that the Babylonian rabbis were uncertain about. Okay? By the way, nothing has changed. We still do the same thing. It's just we don't go from Babylonia, we go from New York, Kansas City, or California. But still, the Israelis tend to really be very good at this. Afilu kvar rabba regel. V'chein ori le Rabbi Elazar le Rabbi Pedat Berei, and so did Rabbi Elazar teach to Rabbi Pedat his son, afilu kvaro beregel. Even when the burial takes place on a regel, we start counting the shloshim before. Okay, so that in fact is the halacha.
That what is the before.
We start counting the shloshim before we start counting Shiva. Okay? So you can have shloshim that begins before Shiva begins. That is the law. And the reason for it is because the laws of shloshim are like the laws of the regel. They are somewhat identical. I mean, all of the laws of shloshim are identical with the laws of the regel, even though all the laws of the regel are not identical to all the laws of shloshim. Because all the laws of shloshim are the same as the laws of the regel, you will have been observing the shloshim, and therefore it's counted.
I have a question about the practical issue. If you don't sit Shiva on the regel, but the people of the community come to pay you a visit, that means you cannot go to do your work on Chol HaMoed, or other things that you can do, and then you need to sit Shiva after the Chol HaMoed, that means you sit 14 days, you do nothing for 14 days. Practically, it's impossible.
That's why your servants help.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but
that's why. Yeah, well, that's true. That's why you are given a lot of leeway to do these things subtly, without doing them in an overly public fashion. You're given all that leeway, at least as far as their customs go. We don't follow their customs. I mean, I emphasize that again. We don't follow
their
customs.
I had this problem with my father. Uh-huh. I had to come to Israel, and I had this problem. And I went after I've been there for a while, I got up and came back to New York. I couldn't stay 14 days. It was a major problem for me.
When, what, to remind me, I remember.
He passed away on the second night here, but we knew what happened. It was after the Seder in Israel.
It was after the Seder in Israel.
Passed away. So I flew, immediately I knew I flew. And everyone came to pay me a visit, you know. And then I had to say another Shiva. I told my brother, you know, that's it, I'm up to it. I'm going home.
You can understand the psychological issues here. These are practical issues. And
there
are practical
painful
as well as psychological sides to this. It's not a simple thing.
Because you couldn't leave my cousins alone for 2 days.
Exactly.
And
there is no requirement to do that, in fact.
Right.
In fact, one can just visit in ways that are natural. That is entirely permissible on the regal. That's permissible on the regal. We don't have a formal Shiva call. You don't say it's a Shiva call. We don't do the things that are done on Shiva. You don't sit in the way you would sit on Shiva. But to simply comfort people who are grieving, it's perfectly permissible
Sarah
on the regal.
Sarah Sloan was so worried about it, she invited them to her.
She invited them to her.
To avoid it. She didn't know how to handle it. She was too late to ask you.
Right. All right. Okay, but that's the law is that you can do those things. You can do them because they're perfectly natural. It's not Shiva, but what are you going to do? You have to do what you have to do. You have to do what you have to do in the circumstances.
An allied question on the point that the other people in the household who do things for you. Number one, does it make any difference whether the other people are Jews or not? And the second question is, what if there are no other people?
If there are no other people, then other people don't have to do it for you. And it doesn't mean that you can do it yourself.
You lose work.
No, you lose work. That's true.
You lose work.
That's true.
And income.
You do lose. But we read, if you remember, we read here, I was careful with you, it was at the beginning of the year, we read the laws pertaining to the loss of income. And you saw that, in fact, if your loss of income is significant loss of income, the law is liberal and lenient in all of those cases.
In other words, houses, not
it depends on the reality. Depends on the reality. Most of us don't fall into this position. We feel we have obligations. We have obligations. We're not talking about that. We're talking about really the need to get along. Most of us are not. Most of us would get along fine, whether we work or we don't work. It's just the sense of obligation we have to our work. That we're not talking about. We're talking about here where you really are needy. You really are needy. The law's lenient.
And does it make any difference whether what you have at home are Jews or not? Servants, etc.
No, it doesn't. It
makes no difference.
It doesn't make any difference. Nope. Wouldn't make a difference.
It's interesting, the same basic social issues existed at that time as exist now. And the question, well, what if, what if?
In case you thought changes, in case you thought things have changed dramatically, they haven't. They've changed, but not dramatically.
Well, yeah, we're aware that the public at large has to deal with life, with real life situation.
Correct.
So it's not purely a
take a look.
Arbitrary rules.
Absolutely. Take a look at note number 5. Also, I just want you to see that. No days of Shiva were observed before the festival. Shiva is not canceled, but merely suspended for the duration of the festival, after which all 7 days must be observed. It's what comes afterwards that I want you to see. The Rishonim cited a ruling in the name of Rav Hai Gaon to the effect that in the diaspora, where an additional day of Yom Tov is observed, this last additional day counts as the first day of Shiva, even though the restrictions of Shiva do not go into effect until the next day after Yom Tov is completely over. This is Dalacha. This, in fact,
that's
is Dalacha, that in a diaspora, if you are end up being in this position, you end up with 6 days and not 7 days of Shiva. The last day, the Yom Tov Sheni Shal Galuyot, is counted as the first day of Shiva, even though you can't observe it. Even though you don't observe it. Again, it's the same principle of leniency in the laws of mourning. Okay?
So if you bury before Yom Tov.
Bury before Yom Tov.
And there are 2 days of Yom Tov. Shiva doesn't start until after the regal anyway.
Well, wait a second. You said bury before Yom Tov?
Yeah. If you bury.
According to the Mishnah or according to Halacha?
Halacha.
Let's not wait till the Halacha. Because the halacha is, we don't observe the law according to the Mishnah. And we haven't seen any indication of any disagreement with the Mishnah until now, which we're just about to see. Okay. So if you want to ask about the halacha, hold off a little bit. Okay. What we have learned so far is that if you have 3 days of Shiva before the regal, the regal cancels the Shiva. Less than that, the regal does not cancel. You have to pick up after the regal is over. Okay? So, now the Gemara discusses that question. Tanu Rabbanan. So, Tanu Rabbanan is a Beraita. The Gemara brings a Beraita. Ki ein kfiat amita shlosha yamim kodem aregel. If he fulfilled the mitzvah of turning over the bed 3 days before the festival, Eino tzarich lichfota achar haregel. He does not have to turn the bed over after the festival. Why? Because there's no Shiva. Right? That's what we had read in the Mishnah. In effect, if you have 3 days of Shiva before the festival, festival cuts it off. So obviously, after the festival, you don't have to do the things of Shiva, which included turning over the bed. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. This is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Dechachamim omrim. But the sages say, afilu yom echad, afilu sha'a achat. Even if you have 1 day, even if you have 1 hour of Shiva before the regel comes, the regel is mafsik. The regel cuts off the Shiva.
That's Shaul.
What's Shaul?
The same concept, part of a day.
Correct. So here, this is different from the Mishnah. Mm. And this appears to be the opinion of the sages, and what we have in the Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, even though it doesn't come with his name attached to it. So the Baraita now raises for us an alternative. Okay, let's go on. This is continuation of Baraita. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, says, Hein divrei Beit Shammai, hein divrei Beit Hillel. These words which we have as the dispute between Rabbi Eliezer and the sages are in fact reflecting an earlier dispute between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Very interesting. Okay. Shebeit Shammai omrim shlosha yamim. Beit Shammai says 3 days, and the regel can cut it off. Ubeit Hillel omrim afilu yom echad, even 1 day. So we see that in fact this dispute goes way back. Goes back to the early Tanaim of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Now, let's see. And you know, generally speaking, the law goes according to Hillel. And we saw that, in fact, the sages had the point of view of Hillel, even though the Mishnah does not have the point of view of Hillel.
What was the significance of bringing up the overturning of the bed in the first part? I understand the simple argument of Hillel and Shammai is just the 1 day and the 3 days, mm-hmm. but it almost sounds like in that beginning part that it was contingent on turning over the bed more so than the actual amount of days that went. Well,
maybe yes, maybe no.
Note 10 on the previous page
says
it implies
another way to say this.
Says, however, from the fact that Rabbi Eliezer emphasizes that he overturned his bed, Ravad infers that a festival cancels Shiva only if the mourner actually practiced the observances of Shiva.
Was it the issue that you raised, the strangeness of bringing up that one example,
yeah.
is what Jay is reading okay. here in the note. That led other rabbis to wonder why that one example. But generally speaking, the rabbinic opinion is that was, I mean, it's obvious to me why they gave that example. Because when you're talking about the regel, you want something that is vastly different from the regel. Some of the observances of Shiva are in fact the same as the observances of the regel. But if you want to point out something that's so different, that's something that's so different. So that's a way of saying, in a forceful manner, Shiva.
You really did Shiva.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what this note refers to is not the halakha. In other words...
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Okay, now where are we here?
So it's not just a matter of the amount of time that went by, be it 3 days or 1 day, you actually have to observe Shiva in like some way. That's a crucial factor in this, apparently.
Well, in that comment,
okay,
in the Rabbat's
right,
comment.
Right.
But in fact, it doesn't work that way.
Oh, okay.
Because in fact, the assumption is that...
The assumption is that if there's Shiva beginning, you'll do it.
Right. We don't check the details
yeah.
of these things. So the assumption is Shiva has begun
yeah.
as soon as you finish the burial. Therefore, you've observed Shiva. How has it begun? Well,
oh.
it's begun because you're observing Shiva. All right? Now, I'll mention to you in a moment that one possible, well, I'll say it now. We've mentioned it also that there are some people who will immediately after the burial is finished will put on slippers.
Will put what?
On slippers.
Oh, in the cemetery.
In the cemetery. You will see people change their shoes at the cemetery. You don't see everybody doing that, but that is a custom that a number of people will observe. They will begin the observance right at the cemetery in order to make it very clear that there is a Shiva that is starting, that there's something that happens which makes it clear. But that's not universal. Okay, let's go on, because now we want to see, in fact, what is the halacha in the matter. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. The Amre La Amar Laho Rabbi Yochanan La Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Ula Rav Huna. Afilu Yom Echad, Afilu Sha'ah Echad. Rabbi Yochanan has the tradition, and Rabbi Yochanan is now teaching it to the Babylonian rabbis. Even one day, even one hour. That is to say, if you observe any Shiva at all, and the regal comes,
it's got to go.
It's the end of Shiva. It's the complete end of Shiva. Okay? Rava Amar, Rava says, Halacha tatana didan, di Amar shlosha. Rava now, the Babylonian Amara says, the law goes according to our Tana, namely the Tana of the Mishnah, the teacher of the Mishnah, which is to say, shlosha. He said 3 days have to be observed before the regel comes. So now we have a difference of opinion between the Babylonians and the Israelis. Okay? Ravina ikla lasura defrat. Ravina came to the town of Sura by the prop, by the Euphrates. Amale l'Rav Chaviva l'Rabina. Rav Chaviva said to Ravina, Halach hilchatamai. Now Ravina is one of the later Babylonian rabbis who was partly responsible for the editing of the Babylonian Talmud. So we're now dealing with the latest level, and we see that there is a dispute, at least between the Babylonians and the Israelis, maybe beyond that. So he asks Ravina, Hilchatamai, Amale Afilu Yomechab Afilu Sha'achat. Ravina finally says, even one day, even one hour. So interesting, we don't know the dynamics of that decision making, but it is quite apparent that by a later time, probably again based on the same idea that the halacha is lenient in mourning, that we tend to cut out the observance rather than lengthen the observance, that where there is a bona fide dispute, it will generally go toward the lenient position. Maybe that's what it is, although the Gemara itself never justifies this on that basis. You see that this argument goes way back into the early Tanaitic literature. And that is the law the way it is today. Okay, we follow the laws. Ravina has articulated it here. If there is any shiva at all before the regal, then the regal is mafsik. The regal stops the shiva entirely.
So if the burial is on Erev HaRegel, in
Erev
the morning,
HaRegel, okay, yeah.
And then you come home and you start shiva. Right. And you sit shiva for 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
And that cancels the rest of the shiva?
Yeah. Correct. Shiva's over.
Thank you.
I had a case, I think I told you about this case. I had a case at Erev Rosh Hashanah where we got back 5 minutes before Rosh Hashanah. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes before Shiva. Mm-hmm. No Shiva. Because, in fact, they didn't have to be in their house to be observing Shiva. There was, and even the phrase Afilu Sha'ah Achat doesn't mean an hour. In the Hebrew, Afilu Sha'ah Achat means a moment. I mean, it doesn't mean an hour. It doesn't mean.
That's the reason they're rushing on Friday to bury as quick as
correct,
possible.
Correct.
They don't delay.
Well, there are two reasons. I mean, one reason is that it's the subject of Kvod HaMet.
Yeah. Only when the Kvod HaMet is in count.
The dignity of the deceased. We feel that it is helpful to the dignity of the deceased to bury as soon as possible. That's why when we can bury sooner, we bury sooner rather than later. So that's one of the reasons that you try to do it, is just to make sure that you can do it as soon as possible. That's the threshold reason. Okay? And that's why in Israel, I don't know what they do in... where did your father live? Rehovot?
Tel Aviv.
In Tel Aviv? I know the custom in Yerushalayim, I think I mentioned this to you, is to bury at night.
Right.
You can bury at night as you can bury in the day. And that's simply because you want to get the job done. So you just do it. Do they bury in Tel Aviv at night?
I don't think so.
No?
I've never seen it.
Maybe Bnei Brak, maybe the Orthodox of Bnei Brak or the Orthodox of Petah Tikva might do it, but not the Chilonim of Tel Aviv, the general public.
But even the Chilonim of Tel Aviv, it's all run by the same rabbinate, the chief
rabbinate. Correct, but it doesn't mean that they will go with it.
They have a the chief rabbinate is very, I've been sometimes surprised. Of course, the chief rabbinate doesn't always govern here. When you're dealing with a rabbinate of the Bnei Brak, they're not interested in the chief rabbinate. The chief rabbinate is rather liberal in these areas. I've had a case a while ago where there was family living in this country, and the Israeli rabbinate said to put it off. There was a burial put off about 3 days.
That's a lot.
I couldn't believe it. And the reason was to allow the close American relatives to come.
You see, when you said Kvod HaMet, now I understand that maybe there are two options for Kvod HaMet. One, to bury it immediately, so that's for the purpose of his Kvod Shelo. And the other is to give him the respect by other people to come.
Exactly.
And pay. So I always translated Kvod HaMet as to give the public who wants to pay, you know, to go to the funeral. So
that's the secondary reason. The primary idea in Kvod HaMet is the idea that the Met itself has to be in the ground. That's the primary idea. But this secondary idea is not irrelevant. In fact, we make decisions based on it.
Yeah.
We made that decision the other day. We just did that.
Yeah, you don't bury the...
So that, in fact, we don't... Although there are limits to that. I had a case a few years ago. I was only peripherally involved. It was somebody who was a member of this congregation and another congregation. I ran away from this one because they wanted to... They wanted to put off... This was not involved. I was very peripherally. This person was not a member of Forest Harbor. They were a member of another congregation. And there was a burial, and it took about 7 days to bury. Somebody, and it was because somebody else couldn't be there, couldn't officiate because somebody was gone in another place, and they wanted to have somebody officiate or somebody else officiate. They waited, maybe 5 days, I think it was.
That's a lot.
I said, Jim, absolutely can't do that. But it was done.
What's the latest that you would be willing to wait before you won't bury someone? Like how close before, let's say, Shabbos? like how close can you get to Shabbos before you're like, okay, if we start burying this person, we won't finish before Shabbos comes in?
It's only a practical question.
Yes, that's what.
Practically, it's a question of how long it actually takes.
Yeah.
It depends where the cemetery is and what the rules of the union are. Because the union will sometimes govern in these things. I have to check how late the union will work. We had a case just the other day where they said the union doesn't want to work after 3 o'clock. You've got to arrive before 3
the
o'clock. The Undertakers Union.
Oh.
And the Undertakers Union is different in different states. And here in Manhattan, we deal with undertakers... with the union, the gravediggers, in New Jersey and in New York State. Different rules. So you have to just see what the facts are of the case and make a decision based on that.
Because in the summer, Shabbos won't come until 8:30.
So in theory, I remember years ago, and I don't know whether the union rules change. usually for the worse, not for the better, as far as we are concerned. But the union rules are such that years ago I remember having a summer burial, which must have been 6-7 o'clock. It was June, the month of June, where you could do things like that. And we got here 2 minutes before Shabbat, from the, back from the cemetery. It was all a doable job. But more, the thing, it's practical, and a lot of the practical has to do with the grave diggers, since we're dependent upon them.
We have today what we did not have in times past, refrigeration.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it back.
But that's different. But that's different. Now, that's still, quota net doesn't affect refrigeration, because we think that the net should be in the ground. It doesn't matter
it
where
be exposed.
It doesn't matter where the net is. In a refrigerator, it's still not good.
Right.
It's not just putrefaction. That's the issue. Normal. That is an issue, but it's not the only issue. Okay. Good. Let's keep going. Okay, now the Gemara, which has... Yes, sir.
When is your Omer alarm going to go off?
What time is it?
Saturday.
It didn't go off?
What happened to...
We buried the guy.
My pump pilot is dead. He died earlier today, and I thought I...
He didn't. He's better.
Are there any funerals on Saturday nights? Like, can you write after Shabbos?
Not or, here, or you
you're
can't.
Just not allowed,
it.
You can't bury it. You're just
but
not allowed
could,
to bury
if
it.
You could.
No, we don't do it. We don't do it. In Jerusalem, they do it.
Was the Rabbi Teitelbaum buried? Was he buried in the evening?
Oh, right.
He was buried in the evening.
Oh, that night.
Mm-hmm. He was buried that night.
Oh, that's nice. Buried him that night? Where was he buried?
In Kiryat
Yoel. Oh, in Kiryat Yoel?
Yeah.
Oh, I assume they take care of their own things?
Because it was a service
at night.
They didn't bury him at night.
The service was at night.
But they buried
him
in the morning.
They buried him in the morning.
They had to drive.
Yeah, I thought they had. I was wondering about that too, because I thought the Times said they had a service in the afternoon in Brooklyn, and then they all left to carry out.
Yeah, they had the service was at night. He didn't die until late in the afternoon. But they buried him in the morning.
I don't know what a service means, too. I mean, what does a service mean? Right.
They brought his coffin. There were thousands of people in the street.
This was at night.
That was at night.
So, where? There or in Brooklyn? So he died in Brooklyn.
No, he died at Mount Sinai.
Died at Mount Sinai. They took him to Brooklyn from Mount Sinai.
Right.
I see.
They had something there.
The mayor's probably due to the mayor really said that the mayor went to a funeral at 10 p.m.
He
called it a funeral. He's the mayor.
The reporters called it.
Oh, so I understand. Yeah, so what is it? What constitutes a funeral?
Funeral and burial aren't the same.
Yeah, it's a matter of linguistics. What a funeral. Yeah, I understand. Okay. Very good. Let's go on. We have talked and assumed, of course, that Shiva is 7 days. Maran now asks, how do you know that? How do you know that Shiva is 7 days? Where does that all come from? Okay. Yativ Rabbi Chia bar Abba v'Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Akila de Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar. All these rabbis, it's fascinating, were sitting on the porch of Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar. Okay? Sitting on his porch. Nafak milta mi benayim. And literally, a word came out from between them. Literally. What it means is, and they were discussing an issue of halacha. They're discussing an issue.
They just happened to be talking about
them. What?
Just happened to come up. You know.
Yeah, well, they're interested in the subject.
They're on that kind of porch.
Minayin la'avelut shiva. From where do we know that Shiva is 7 days? I'm glad they asked the question. Dichti. And they answer, Ve'afachti chageichem la'evel. Right? Remember that verse from Amos? I shall turn your festivals into mourning. Mahag Shiva Af Adelut Shiva. Just as a chag is 7 days, so mourning is 7 days. But then the Gemara says, Ve'ema atzeret achad yoma. You say chag is 7 days. Ve'afachti chagechem la'evo. A chag is 7 days. Well, we have all kinds of chagim. Among the chagim we have, you're right, Sukkot is 7 days. And you're right, Pesach is 7 days.
But Shavuot
is 1 day. So maybe I should learn that it's 1 day and not 7 days. If it says, V'afachti chagechem la'evel, that's no decisive proof. Because some of those are 7 and some are 1. Right. The analogy to Shavuot is necessary for another purpose. Licha de Resh Lakish, as Resh Lakish taught. Diyama Resh Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. For Resh Lakish taught in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. Min ayin lishmu'a rechoka she'ena noheget ela yom echad. How do we know that a shmu'a rechoka means if you hear about a death, you are a potential mourner. You don't know that somebody who you would have to mourn for has died. Right? It could be for a wide variety of reasons. You just don't know. You didn't get information.
Is that a rumor?
No, shmu'a rechoka means just news rechoka. Far place news from far away.
Before the internet.
Okay. And it's not only the internet. Sometimes you just don't know. Somebody is on a trip. They're on a trip. They're not communicating all the time. They say, "Look, I'll return your email in once every 2 weeks. You know, because otherwise I may not be able to do it. I don't want you to worry about me. So don't expect anything. Okay? This happens.
By the way, the Dakar story, the submarine, the Israeli Dakar.
Right.
In submarine, you have what they call the Mamat Al-Khut. When they go underwater, they're not supposed to have any communication for a certain amount of time. And the reason they couldn't know what happened is that this time passed and they still had the Mamat Al-Khut. So they didn't know what happened. So everything started about the story of Dakar a lot longer than actually. So it was a very painful process. It was years of process, but just the immediate process was very painful. And that was because of that problem. Because they didn't know what reason was that the captain didn't start the communication again after a certain time. And they couldn't say to the public because of other reasons.
Sure. Secrecy.
So it was very
interesting. Now, realize what the halachic issue here is, that if you have two possibilities and you have two teachings, one possibility goes with one teaching, the other possibility goes with another teaching. If, for example, the word v'hapachti chagechem le'evel, there are two ways to understand the chag. Right? One is 7 days and one is 1 day. And I have two teachings that can come out of that verse. One will be for 1 day and one will be for 7 days. So if I have a possibility of going either way, learning that 7 days of mourning comes from V'afachti chagechem la'evel, but I'm worried that the one day possibility of Shavuot could be used for that same interpretation. But if I find out that the 1 day is crucial for another interpretation, then I have the 7 days for my interpretation. Okay, that's what's going on here. That's what the force is. Ha hu mi ba'ale. The fact that Shavuot is a valid interpretation of v'hafachti chagechem la'evel of 1 day is useful for another halacha. Another halacha. What is it? It is the halacha of Shmu'a Rechoka. of when you get news that is delayed. Dichti v'afachti chagechem le'evel. I shall turn your joyfulness to evel. We learn there that if you have a shmu'ah rechoka, if you do not hear, only after a long period of time about a death, you are required to observe one day of mourning.
An argument for why it's it's why you should attend to this lesson about it being the one day.
Correct. If we learn va'afachte chagechem le'evil, could go one or could go seven.
Okay.
In fact, there are two different laws. One is the law of Shiva, which goes with seven. The other is the law of one. There is a case where Shiva is one day long. There is a one day Shiva. And the one day Shiva, which we learn from the Shavuot part of it, is in a case where somebody doesn't hear about the fact that they're mourners except after a long period of time. So in fact, we know there are two types of shiva. There's a one-day shiva and a seven-day shiva.
But that is different than what you were speaking about with Passover. And then if you didn't go looking for chametz the day before, you should look for it the next day. If you look for the next day, you should look for the next day. And even if the holiday's over, you should still
look
for it.
That was unique.
No, but I was so struck. I mean,
it's an interesting...
Right, it's such an interesting concept.
It's a very interesting concept.
But the one-day aspect comes into play in a war. If somebody gets killed and the family is not notified much later that this happened.
Correct. There are a variety of such possible circumstances.
Mm. But what's a long period of time?
That's the next thing that we're going to discuss.
Yeah, good, good.
if they're saying there are two things to learn from this verse, didn't we also learn that in a prior Mishnah or Braita that you can't learn two things from one verse?
You could learn two things if, in fact, the verse itself is so ambiguous that two things could come out of it. Because you don't know what Chag is referring to. It could be referring to seven or it could be referring to one. In that case, you could. There are these exceptions because the thing itself is so ambiguous. Okay? Very good. Okay, now... Just take a break. I want to sit on this one subject for 1 minute more to clarify. Oh, yes. All right, let's count the omer. Okay. My omer counter may be on the blink, but let's count the omer. I don't believe this. Okay. Yesterday we counted 13, I believe. 13? So, what day of the week is this? Wednesday night. The second Seder was on?
Thursday
night. Okay, it all makes sense. Okay. Baruch ata Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kideshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al sfirat ha'omer. Hayom, arba'asar yom. Shehem shnei shavuot la'omer. Okay, this makes now 14 days, which is 2 weeks of the omer. Okay. Now remember, if you miss the day, you can still count, but you just can't say the bracha. It's still coming. Now, I wanted to look at for a moment the beginning of the laws of mourning in Maimonides' Mishneh Torah. Maimonides introduces the laws of mourning. It's interesting, they appear in a latter part of his Mishneh Torah. In the Hilchot Mamrim. Hilchot Mamrim are those who do not observe the dictate of a court because there are ramifications of the court. There are certain cases where if the court has given a death penalty, for example, There is no mourning in case of a death penalty in the court. There are certain severe situations here, and therefore he includes it in that part of his Mishneh Torah. But in the Hilchot Avel, he says, he begins, Yesh bichlalan arba mitzvot. There are four mitzvot which are included in the laws of mourning. When he says that, he means he's counting the 613 mitzvot. Achat mitzvot aseh, one positive commandment, v'shalosh mitzvot lo taseh, three negative commandments. Aleph, lehitabel al hakrovim. We are commanded to mourn for our near ones. Our near ones, our relatives. The afilu kohen mitatamei umitabel al krovav. And even a kohen is required to become ritually impure for those who are his near relatives in order to mourn them. The ein adam mitabel al harugei betin. But there is no mourning for somebody who dies as a result of the death penalty of the court. Ulefize kalalti halachot elu b'sefer zeh. For this reason, I have included the laws of mourning in this book. Shehin me'en kvura biyom mita shehi mitzvat aseh. Bet shelo yit ma kohen gadol likrovim. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to defile himself, even for his near relatives. Shelo yikanes imamet ba'ohel. Somebody who is a Kohen is not allowed to go into a dwelling where there is somebody who is dead. Shelo yitma kohen edyot lenefesh adam ela likrovim bilvad. This is the negative side, that a Kohen is not allowed to make himself impure with the exception of his own family. Now, the Maimonides then begins the first mitzvah. Mitzvata se lehitabel al akrovim. It is a positive commandment to mourn for one's near relatives. Shene'amar, it's interesting, the source, V'achalti chatat hayom hayitav be'enei Hashem. Any of you remember where that's from? Shall I eat the sin offering today? Would it be good in God's eyes?
Last week's reading.
Last week's parsha. Did you read it? Okay. It's last week's parsha. The death of Nadav and Avihu. Okay. Moses says to Aaron, why didn't you eat this? Why didn't you eat this offering? And Aaron answers, "V'achalti chatat hayom? Should I eat a chatat, the sin offering today? Hayitav b'nei Hashem? Would this be good in God's eyes?" That's interesting. Maimonides learns it from. It surely doesn't say you're supposed to mourn there.
No, any.
Right? And it's an odd proof text, but that's what Maimonides brings here. The ein avelut min haTorah ela biyom rishon bilvat. Right? We do not learn. We learn avelut here from this case of Aaron. Aaron says on the day. Therefore, from the Torah, there is only one day of mourning, according to Maimonides. Okay, he says v'achalti chatat hayom. That is the day of death, in fact. Not at all what we do. Ela b'yom rishon bilvad, shehu yom ha-mita v'yom ha-kavura. The assumption being that the day of death will also be the day of the burial. Aval sha'ar ha-shiv'a yamim. But the rest of the 7 days, eino din Torah, is not the law of the Torah. Is not the law of the Torah. Af al pi she'ne'amar b'Torah v'yas li'aviv evel shiv'at yamim. even though it says in the Torah that he may, that he mourned for his father 7 days. Where is that from?
I think that's
Joseph for Jacob. Joseph for Jacob. Nitna Torah, even though that is said, that there was a 7 day mourning period, he says, Nitna Torah, all of that was before the giving of the Torah. V'nitchadsha halacha, and the law becomes new after the giving of the Torah. So therefore, he has to find a source which is post-Matan Torah, post the giving of the Torah, and that source is our Torah reading last week. Umoshe Rabbeinu tiken lehem liYisrael shivat yemei avelut. Moses established for Israel the 7 days of mourning, vishivat yemei mishta, as well as the 7 days of rejoicing after a wedding. But those were all rabbinic law. Who was the first rabbi? Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, our rabbi. Okay? So according to Maimonides, then, the law of mourning from the Torah is 1 day, which he derives from this source. The 7 days of mourning were established by Moses, and therefore they are of rabbinic nature.
Cool. Okay. So are there no rules that predate the Matan Torah that are...
According to Maimonidean jurisprudence.
That's pretty good.
This is Maimonidean jurisprudence. All laws that we have and observe must be stated after the giving of the Torah. Any law that appears before the beginning of the Torah must in some form be repeated later on. Therefore, for example, the law of Brit Milah given to Avraham Avinu would not be the law except for this week's Torah reading. Tazria Metzara. Ki Tazria Isha V'yalda LaZachar. Right? On the 7th day, he shall have a Brit Milah. That's this week's Torah reading. The fact that it was given to Avraham Avinu is very interesting.
But it's not the rule.
But it's not the law.
That's cool.
Right. It may have even said, you might argue that it says there shall be a law for you until all your generations and so on. And of course the laws of Pesach are interesting because the laws of Pesach happened before. Okay, but that too is repeated after in the book of Deuteronomy. It's repeated again. We read several Torah readings. We read from the book of Leviticus, the Torah readings about Pesach. So all of that, if you have some mention, then it kicks everything back else in. You can use it all, because it's all in the Torah. But you've got to have some indication that this comes post-Sinai.
The reason I thought we daven 3 times a day is because with the forefathers in Bereishis, right? That's when the times when they made their sacrifice or whatever, but that's before. So then how do they get
corrupt?
Yeah.
Which you would therefore learn, that is what you call an asmachta bialma.
Okay.
That the rabbis pointed to something in the Torah, but that is not the source of the obligation in the Torah.
Okay.
Maimonides says, following, Maimonides is great. Maimonides says the obligation to daven, there is no obligation to daven 3 times a day. There is only an obligation to daven from the Torah, because it says Vahayim Shamoa Tishma'u El Mitzvotai, alright, that you, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might. How do we love God?
This is a good way.
Through prayer. Prayer is the form of love. That's the source in the Torah. But the source that we should do it 3 times a day, that's the rabbis.
On the statement of Aaron in reply to Moses, using the word Hayom. The word Hayom can be interpreted in several ways. So, in this case, it is interpreted as this specific day. But Hayom, literally speaking, means the day. and does not always mean the specific date. It sometimes means these times. So this interpretation is intentional, I assume.
Maimonides, the fact that he refers to this as a source to begin with is creative and maybe outrageous to begin with, let alone what you just said. I'll show you a page of Maimonides. Maimonides in this Mishneh Torah, all these are the commentaries. You know what these guys say? How could you have done that? How could you have done that? First of all, it doesn't say, I'll read it to you. Here, this is Rabbi Yosef Karo. You listen to Rabbi Yosef Karo on this. Mitzvata se lehita berla lakrovim. That's what my mother says. It's a positive commandment of the Torah to mourn for your near relatives. Da'at ha-gaonim kedat rabbeinu. The opinion of the Gaonim is the same as our rabbi, namely Maimonides. The chen da'at ha-rifa ramban. And similarly, it's the opinion of the Rif and the Ramban. Afal pish rabbeinu tam v'rabbi Yitzchak chokim. Even though the Ashkenazi rabbis, Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, they disagree. Umikol makom. Anyway, ha-ra'ayasha hevi Rabbeinu, the proof text that our rabbi brought, namely Maimonides, brought, mima she-ne'amar v'yachalti chatat ayom, ha-yitav b'nei Hashem, that verse that we just read from last week's Torah reading, yesh litmoa aleha. One should be very surprised at this. Now look, when you're criticizing the Rambam, you don't say he's wrong. You can't. Rabbi Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, would never say the Rambam is wrong. He would only say you could really be surprised at what he said. Okay. Shebemikra lo tzivash yitablo, because in the Bible it doesn't say that you're supposed to mourn. Well, that happens to be a good point. All right? But what can you say? The Rambam said it after all. And Rabbi Yosef, even Rabbi Yosef Karo, he'll accept what the Rambam says, more or less. But it is an interesting thing. And that's why some of the commentators also say that the laws of mourning are simply not from the Torah, period. That there just isn't a good proof text from the Torah. It doesn't mean that they're not the law. Plenty of things we do are not necessarily the law of the Torah. But laws of mourning are hard to pin in the Torah. Maimonides, you saw Maimonides' effort to do it right here.
The sons of Aaron were punished by God, by death, correct?
No. You weren't here last Saturday. No. Tried to prove that according to the Rashbam, it wasn't true.
That's a nice way to look at it.
Maybe somebody will tell you the story.
No.
Okay. Very good. Next week, to be continued.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me give you a plug for the book club. In 4 weeks, on the 21st of May, we're going to read the biography of Maimonides that Sherwin Newland just wrote.
Yes.
So May 21, the book is called